This is Rebuilding Democracy, and now we turn to teaching civics in our schools. The push for more and improved civics education has been brewing in Washington for many years, says Leo O'Leary, who runs the civics education program in the State House of Representatives.
There had been a lot of push just because of the way that things in our country had gone, where people were having a difficult time having the civil discourse. And so creating that part and making it important is something that our legislature felt was important at that point. So that's why they brought that to the table.
That was 2018, when the legislature approved a bill that, among other things, required school districts to offer a standalone civics education course to high school students, not just something embedded in social studies classes.
I spent many years in elective office in state and local government, and I can say, and probably a lot of you can too, that it's amazing how little people seem to know about how their government works.
That was retired State Senator Karen Frazier speaking at a hearing for the bill in 2018.
We're so fortunate to live in this country, in our state, with personal protections for our personal lives and good ways to be able to work together. We don't need a coup to make a change in government. So we need to protect our country. We really need people who are up and coming, growing up, to know what our government's about, how it works, how to participate in it.
Jerry Price is helping to shape civics education in Washington. He's the Social Studies Program Supervisor in the State Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction. He says civics is more than just how government works.
When I think of civic education, beyond talking about sort of the three branches of government, really looking at, civitas, right? The idea of citizen, and how can we really instill in students the idea that they are citizens, and that as a citizen, you have certain rights and responsibilities. And part of that is making sure that you're engaged with your community and trying to solve community problems. You know, when I was in the classroom, we did Project Citizen, and that's a program that asks students to identify problems in their community and come up with solutions to that. They make policy recommendations, and they pull in so it's really about exploring. So if you have a problem, if you've got a homeless issue or you've got an issue with drug abuse or people driving too fast in a, 25 mile per hour zone, or there's not enough crosswalks, what does that look like? How do you get involved? How do you go to your school board and make a proposal? How do you engage your city council or your mayor or whatever the case may be in order to get those problems solved? And, I think that that's traditionally been one of the issues with civic education, is that it's been seen as in the classroom getting sort of educated about the branches of government without any idea of participatory civic engagement.
This academic year is the first where Washington school districts with high schools are required to provide a mandatory half-credit standalone course in civics. When students successfully finish it, it satisfies part of their social studies requirement for graduation. It's a start, says Price.
What I'd like to see is an expansion of civic education, taking civics more seriously at the elementary and the middle school levels. I think middle school generally does a good job, but I think we do a disservice to everyone when we really look at high school as the place for civic education. I feel like at that point we've kind of missed the boat, although there's certainly great things to do. The early voter registration for 16 and 17 year olds and getting them sort of thinking about the community as they're going out and get preparing to be, full-fledged citizens is terrific. But I think that we really lose an opportunity when we're not engaging our elementary kids. And elementary teachers have an incredibly huge lift, but they're already doing civics, but they're not really calling it civics, right? So when students are engaged in civil discourse in the classroom, when they're engaging with ideas and supporting their reasons with evidence and coming up with the solutions to problems, I think that there are ways to incorporate civic topics into that work.
Price says his office is working with teachers' organizations to support their efforts to bring more civics education into schools, especially elementary schools.
Learning to get along with other people is civic education, right? So I would say Kindergarten, it is a great place to start with civic education, right? That's where we're getting our cooperation, our learning to share. You know, these are all foundational skills for that get built upon, you know, when people aren't sharing resources or whatever. What is the role of rules? Why do we have rules? What are rules for? You know, those are all conversations that can be had at a very early age that help build the scaffolding for later, more intense civic education.
Don't know much about history, don't know much biology, don't know much about a science book, don't know much about the French I took, but I do know that I love you, and I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be. Don't know much about geography, don't know much trigonometry, don't know much about algebra, don't know what a sliding rule is for, but I do know 1 and 1 is 2. And if this one could be with you, what a wonderful world this would be. Now I don't claim to be an A student, but I'm trying to be. For maybe by being an A student, baby, I can win your love for me. Don't know much about history, don't know much biology, don't know much about a science book, don't know much about the French I took, but I do know that I love you, and I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be. La ta 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 ta. History. Biology. Well, la ta 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 ta. Science book. French I took. Yeah, but I do know that I love you, and I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be.
At Meade High School in North Spokane, David Stedman teaches advanced placement government classes. AP classes are designed by the College Board, which also writes the SAT pre-college exam. In the last few years, Stedman says, the College Board has changed the class he teaches.
Initially, the course required students to basically memorize quite a bit of stuff. Now the focus is more on critical thinking, reasoning, being able to respond to different political scenarios with information about how our form of government and citizens' participation work.
He says those changes have made the class more interesting for students.
I've got students that run the political spectrum from super, super progressive to very, very hardcore MAGA Trump supporters.
And the class discussions are full of passion.
I tell my students, we're going to talk about everything. All the things you were told when you're a little kid that you're not supposed to talk about, we're going to talk about it. And you can have whatever opinion you want to have as long as it's based on facts, that you use facts. And secondly, that you are civil in that discussion. So really the focus is on that idea of civil discourse.
And guess what? It works.
I wish the rest of the country could use my students as role models. They are fantastic. They engage in vigorous debate and vigorous discussion and often leave class to go out into the hallways and continue their discussion with either people who agree or disagree with them. But they also become friends and recognize that we're all still Americans.
Stedman's class gets a rousing endorsement from Meade senior Maddie Ettinger.
Oh my goodness. First of all, it is so fascinating, especially in an election year, to be learning about how our government works, understanding the processes that occur in D.C. and locally and in Olympia that oftentimes the average citizen doesn't even understand. And then you couple that with all of the headlines that are happening this year. So then to be able to dissect that with a man who's clearly so passionate about politics and so smart and has so much information to share about it in such a nonpartisan way. To be able to take that information and have discussions with my classmates about how we think we should act on a certain policy or what we would like to see changed in our government, and then also comparing it to what our founders had in mind when they set up our government. It's so, so much fun. I go to school each day looking forward to third period with Mr. Stedman. It is one of the highlights of my day.
Jillian Holbrook is Maddie Ettinger's classmate.
This past fall, we had some discussions about our political ideologies. And as a class, we had the opportunity to plot ourselves on a political compass, which shows what sort of views that we felt we were aligned with. And there was a lot of diversity in the opinions that we all had. And I found it really gratifying that my peers were open to productively working together as we learn about government and politics, being considerate of one another and having a willingness to listen are skills that I feel like will really serve us in our individual futures.
High school debate is one of the outlets for students who want to learn more about politics and government. Natasha Carpenter leads the debate program at Spokane's Lewis and Clark High School.
We not only are trying to teach civilized debating, civilized argumentation verbally, but we're also teaching a lot of critical thinking skills. A lot of research skills go into debate. Sometimes these are topics that even the coaches have to wrap our minds around and try to figure out what do they mean by universal child care? And how does this affect other people, not only in the United States, but sometimes around the world? Sometimes we have to think quickly on our feet. So if our plan, when we get into a round, where a round is what we call when we're at a tournament and we're going against another team, when we're in a round and we have a plan going in there, a strategy, sometimes that strategy doesn't work. And you have to quickly figure something else out to get that judge to be on your side. A lot of impromptu skills go into debate as well. And as you know, speaking with people, sometimes you need those impromptu skills because sometimes you don't know how the subject's going to switch or the topic's going to turn. So for debate, we try to focus on that, and not only that, but we focus on presentation, how you come across to other people.
Teacher, teacher, there's so much I'm longing to know, 'cause my heart has been all aglow from the moment we met. Teacher, make me the teacher's pet. Teacher, teacher, educate me with a caress. Teach me nothing less than a lesson I'll never forget. Teacher, make me the teacher's pet. I read more in your loving eyes than in any book from the shelf. I don't have to tell you you're in a class by yourself.
The Washington legislature is also part of the movement to improve civics education. Leo O'Leary from the civics education program in the State House says the PAGE program allows 14 to 16-year-old students to interact with legislators while they're in session.
They come for a week at a time, and we have host families set up, so there's places for people out of the area to stay. They get a stipend for the time that they're on campus working, and their jobs include helping pass materials between offices, going to the PAGE school as a component, and then they also get the opportunity to work on the House or Senate floor, and that's a place where there's very, very limited access, and so they get to be really a fly on the wall while everything is going on around them and laws are being made, and it's a great opportunity for young people to understand the process.
There's also something for teachers, the Legislative Scholars Program. This year, that will be held virtually for 80 elementary and high school teachers.
We really take them through some of the curriculum that we do in the Page School, but also bring in lots of guest speakers for them, different elected officials. We have a connection with the Supreme Court where the justices bring a program together and talk about that component of things. And so really our goal is to help them collect resources, to open doors to them, to other parts of government that they might not know about. And then also just to kind of have some support and know there's other people across the state who are doing the same things and able to share ideas. And I know that those teachers have stayed in touch and continued to share what they have success with.
Leo O'Leary's partner in the Senate, Colleen Rust, says that program is a derivative of a program for teachers in British Columbia's Legislative Assembly in Victoria. Rust agrees with Jerry Price that civics education should not just be for teachers and high school students.
There should be scaffolding where the kids start really early and they start in elementary school and they build from there. We're lucky to have a lot of great civic education partners in Washington State that are coming at civics education from a number of different directions. But I think that if you start in high school, of course, it's still time well spent, but there are so many years where their education could be building to have students be even more prepared and more civically minded by the time they reach their high school age.
Yeah, and it varies so much school to school, because I know fourth grade and seventh grade are kind of the times where they do some Washington State history, and that sometimes gets some of the civic component as far as government, sometimes doesn't. It just kind of it varies place to place. A lot of times that's when they'll do their field trip and come to Olympia and walk around the Capitol, and that will be the first time being there for a lot of those students. And it's interesting to see just their eyes get big as they walk into the Marble Palace.
Civics education is not just for K-12 students. The legislature's program also has internships for college students, and parents can learn right along with their kids using some of the online tools. Nationally, many groups are offering programs of their own. Carrie Sautner from the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia, right in the cradle of our democracy, says people are hungry for this type of information. Her organization offers a steady diet of programs you can access online for free.
We're seeing learners of all ages come with us on Fridays. It's what I refer to as the all-in session. And what is amazing about it is we're absolutely seeing people with different kind of constitutional perspectives and political perspectives, but people are coming to learn the history and learn the current constitutional questions. And we just want to make sure that more people know about it and more people want to come, because it's doing two things. We're teaching the Constitution, well, three things, teaching the history, but we're also bringing people together. So they're chatting with each other in these programs and hearing perspectives from other sides. And that's important, too, when we have a dialogue around these big constitutional questions.
If you're interested in exploring some of these programs and organizations we've been talking about in this program, you can go to our website at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thank you for listening to this hour of Rebuilding Democracy.
This program is part of a collaboration between Spokane Public Radio, Humanities Washington, Northwest Public Broadcasting, and KUOW Seattle. Exploring civic and electoral participation in the United States. Support for this program comes from the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation and was administered by the Federation of State Humanities Councils. This program was produced by Doug Nedvornik and Carrie Boyce in the studios of Spokane Public Radio.